All right, good to see everybody. I just wanted to share with you, I wasn't planning on sharing it, but, you know, I looked at some news this past week, and, you know, part of the reason why, you know, I wanted to preach this passage was, you know, very often, the Christmas time is not necessarily the happiest time for some people. You know, it can actually be a very dark time, and, you know, I was just reminded of this fact when I heard about the news of a church not too far from here, from Appleton, right? And it's a church up there, about 2,000 members. And the senior pastor, after battling depression for a long time, just committed suicide. You know, and it's so sad to hear because, you know, it's a leader of all these people and didn't know, the people didn't know the battle that he was facing. And over the past week, they had to now wrestle with this fact of not having a senior pastor to lead the congregation and just wrestling with, what does this mean? I mean, you know, this is someone who you probably think if there's one person who can battle depression, it'd be that person. But, you know, even they can succumb to those kinds of illnesses and the things around them. And so a lot of times there is darkness, right? We wrestle with it. You know, we find ourselves in those kinds of places, and I think rather than trying to escape it, you know, I think the biggest thing is that we need an answer, right? We need an answer for the darkness, and, you know, I pray for you guys that we will see in Scripture that Christ will be that hope for you. Okay, so with that, let me pray for us as we just wrestle and dig into what God has to say for us. Dear God, we pray for just the ability to hear your word when all the other sounds are trying to drown it out. We know that there is such an important message, but we either try to run away, we try to distract ourselves with all the different temptations around us, we try to be just ignorant of what we need to do. But Lord, I pray that we would be able to see into the future and into your plan for us and being able to rest and trust in what is what you have in store, that we may follow your ways, that we would learn to listen to your voice and be led as the sheep into the pasture. Father, I pray also just for this time, you know, especially as those, you know, we may be celebrating and all these things, but Lord, we know that there are so many people who are struggling, who are wrestling, who have been in a place of deep depression. Lord, I pray that you would just show them a glimpse of your hope and of your goodness and of your joy, that they may cling to it and that you may carry them along the way, Lord. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're unaware of this time, so from the beginning of December to the end of, or to Christmas time, is a period called Advent, if you guys are familiar with that. And basically, the reason we celebrate Advent is because for us, as we think about it, especially in the Christian calendar, the reason we celebrate is so that we can help, it can prepare our hearts to anticipate Christ. Right? It prepares us to think about and celebrate who Jesus is. You know, rather than it being just another busy holiday season, just going through all the motions again, we purposely fix our gaze on Jesus, and we cultivate this kind of anticipation. We wait, we hope, we long for something. And I think it's especially important for us today because most of us, myself included, are not good at waiting, right? You're not good at waiting. We're not good at being patient. You know, I find myself being impatient all the time, especially, you know, like one of the things that really annoys me is slow internet. You know, I'm like trying to watch a TV show and now everything's streamed and you see that loading, you know, circle come up and it just annoys me. And the thing is like, you know, before, I mean, I was there, you know, when I had to log on to AOL for internet and like you had to hear the robot dying in order to log in and get into all these things. And it's like, oh, it took so much time, but now everything's fast and yet we're still so impatient. You know, everything is immediate, right? You want everything now. Immediate access to everything, food, you know, we want it quickly. We want everything soon, feedback. We're not good at waiting. And I think that's especially why, you know, Advent, even though it's not something that we have to participate in, you know, it's not something that's commanded of us, but I think Advent is important because it helps us to wait. It helps you to be patient. You know, when the world is speeding up, we learn to slow down, and then rather than letting the busyness of the season make our world chaotic, we take our time to celebrate Christmas, the true meaning of Christmas. And today, what we're going to learn about is specifically hope. How do we hope when we can't see it? Right? Which is the case for very many people. You know, how do we hope when we can't see hope in front of us? When we're not able to have it in our lives? Where does that hope come from when all we see is darkness? So, with that, let me read for us from Isaiah chapter 8. It's just a chapter before Isaiah chapter 8, verse 22, living in darkness. This is what it says. And they will look to the earth, but behold, distress and darkness, the gloom of anguish, and they will be thrust into deep or into thick darkness. You know, I don't generally mind the winter. I don't mind cold. I don't mind going around and having to wear a jacket. It doesn't really bother me too much. But the one thing that does affect me is in the wintertime, the sun sets at like 4:30 p.m. It's like so early. You know, in the summertime, you know, the sun's up till 9 p.m. and you know, you want to go outside, you want to have a picnic, you want to go ride your bike, do exercises, or whatever you want to do. But then in the wintertime, sun sets at 4:30, and now I'm thinking to myself, it's 7 o'clock, is it okay if I go to sleep now? Is that too weird? You know, it's like so early, the sun sets. And the thing is, there's a medical condition, right? If it's like the wintertime, like winter blues or something like that, where, you know, when there's darkness outside, you just start getting depressed. You know, no reason. It's just dark out. You know, you live in this darkness, and it puts you in this state of depression. And I think this is actually the story of Israel. And it's not necessarily a physical, you know, depression, but they experienced this deep spiritual depression after living in darkness for so long. And it says that they were thrust into thick darkness. And I think there's two reasons for that. You know, first is because of corporate sin. They were put into thick darkness. You know, Israel was meant to be God's chosen nation. You know, in the Old Testament, the story is that God chose this very little land, these, you know, people group that really didn't have any power, didn't have much, and yet God chose them to represent him into the world, in the world. But after he chose them, although their responsibility was to honor God and to worship him and to do so as a nation, to do it corporately, they were disobedient, right? As a nation, they fell away from God and they did not follow him. That doesn't mean every single person did that, but as a nation, corporately, they fell away from worshiping God. You know, in this corporate sin, I think just as an example, it could be represented just in terms of family, right? You know, if you're in a family and, you know, maybe the father or the mother, they make a bad decision. You know, what happens? It affects the whole family. Everybody's affected by it. In the same way, there's a corporate sin that is happening in the nation of Israel where, although not every single person has sinned against God in the same kind of way, as a nation, they didn't obey. Because of that, there were consequences. The surrounding nations overtook Israel, and the nation of Israel, especially in this time period of Isaiah, they were thrust into this darkness, this depression. Israel was not in a good place, and that's what Isaiah is attesting to. Secondly, there's also the personal sin, right? There was a corporate sin involved, but at the same time, there were many people moving away from God, and their way of life was something that may have acknowledged him in some kind of pattern and culture. Right? They were doing some of the things that they were supposed to be doing, or they thought they were supposed to be doing, but what is said in Isaiah is that their hearts were far away from God. Right? Their faith became a formality rather than a relationship. Right? And that's indicative of us today too. Right? Our faith becomes a formality than a relationship. It becomes something you do instead of the relationship that you have with God. And you know, when we experience a spiritual darkness, we start to fall away. You know, you fail to worship God in your lives, and although God is, you know, kind of part of your lives in a formal way, you know, you do the church things, your heart is completely separated from who God is. And so faith becomes formality with no substance. And we see this in Israel. They were a people, because of their corporate sin, were in darkness and in depression. And because of their personal sin, they were in darkness and depression. And because of these reasons, Isaiah says that they walked in darkness and also dwelt in a land of deep darkness. They walked in darkness, but they were also dwelling in a land of deep darkness. And this spiritual darkness would lead them to this hopelessness. They were hopeless people. And we experience hopelessness in these ways as well. You know, I think it's both external and internal. You know, part of the hopelessness we experience is because of the decisions made by the people around us. You know, sometimes it is family. You know, family gets in bad situations and it affects us, and you know, we don't feel like we can get out from it. And so we experience this kind of hopelessness from it. The decisions of other people, the relationships that we have, the family that we have, the friends, their choices, their decisions, their mistakes affects us, and we're put in this depression, this darkness. But it's also an internal force, too, that's working. You know, oftentimes it's the decisions that we make that put us in this darkness. The temptations that we fall into that put us in the darkness. And the thing is that it continues to cycle. The further you get into these temptations and these sins, the darker and darker it gets. And deeper the depression becomes, the more we want to indulge in the darkness. Right? Sometimes darkness begets darkness. It just keeps going and going. So how do we get to this? When do we get to this point of hopelessness? And where do we go from there? So the second point is coming out of darkness. And I'm going to read for us from verse 2 out of chapter 9 again. So the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Right? Light has shined upon them. When the Israelites were living in darkness, they believed that this light that Isaiah was speaking of and prophesying was fixing their current situation. Right? So if you were in a situation or a circumstance and you had a problem and you said light is coming, then you know, you probably think that it's fixing that current situation. And for the people living in this time period, it was the fact that Assyria, this nation, was ruling over them. And they had overtaken them, and they were now no longer a people, a sovereign nation, but now they were a nation that was overtaken by another people, another group, another culture. And they believed that only if God would put them back in charge and defeat Assyria, then everything else would become better. Then all their, you know, the darkness that they were walking in, the depression that they were walking in, that would go away if God would just fix this current situation. And when we live in darkness, we can often think that way as well. That if God is there, then he would fix our situation right now. That he would fix everything that's going on right now, that is being messed up right now. You know, we get into situations where, you know, whether it's at work and, you know, someone else screws up and we get the blame for it and we get yelled at. Maybe you get laid off for it. And you say, God, if you're there, then you would fix the situation. You know, or if a family is messed up, you know, family has problems and, you know, you're in the middle of it and you feel like you're the one who has a responsibility to make things right and it's not going right. You know, if God is there, if, you know, this is really true what God says, then he would fix this situation for me, and he would make things okay again. And we think only if God fixes all these things, then we will be able to get out of this darkness. And I'm not saying that that's necessarily wrong. Now, obviously, we pray for God to fix things, and he will, and he can fix things. But what happens is when we fixate so much on today, we forget about what's to come later. You know, it makes you short-sighted. You know, it's kind of like if you break your arm, you know, it's just broken and it's messed up and it's twisted, and you're just given painkillers. And for a couple hours, you don't feel any pain and it's perfectly fine. But what happens the next day? You're going to be a lot of pain until it's set and cast. The same way, if all we're looking at is our current situation and just asking God to just fix that, then we're missing out on what God has for us in the future, the greater plan. See, Isaiah here is not necessarily prophesying a temporary fix to their current situation because he knows that God has a greater plan for Israel. And the hope that he plans to bring to them is not just an event. It's not just for the Israelites to come out of Assyria, for them to fix the broken situation. But what Isaiah is prophesying here is that God will send a person. This is his prophecy. God is sending, I will send a person to bring hope to this dark situation. I'm not necessarily going to fix it right now. You know, sometimes you have to go through it. But God will send hope. And it's not in an event, but in the person. And this is what he says. This person will bring light into the darkness. In verse 4, it says, for the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken as on the day of Midian. He's saying this person is going to bring light into your soul. He will break the burden of sins and of the failures, and he will free you from the guilt and oppression of the enemy, that you'll no longer have to walk in the same darkness, but you may be free to walk in the light. You won't have that burden anymore. And this person will also bring light into the world. In verse 5 it says, for every boots of the tramping warrior in battle, tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. This means that he will bring total peace to the world, that all the wrongs in the world will be righted. The consequences that Israel faced as a nation by the tyranny of those in power and by those who continually perpetuate evil in the world, that will ultimately be destroyed. It's saying that every garment rolled in blood will be burned. It's saying the war clothes that's used in battle, that's used to fight, that's part of the violence, will all be destroyed. There will be no more use for them anymore when this person comes. And then Isaiah reveals the attributes. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Now Isaiah is saying here that we may be in darkness today, but look forward and be patient and hope, because in God's time, we will receive all that we need to bring us out of darkness and into the light. In time, you will receive everything you need to come out of the darkness and into the light. And though it did take time, you know, it took a lot of time. Eventually and ultimately, the prophecy was fulfilled in Christ. And that's partly what we remember in this time, in this Advent, is, you know, when we think about Christmas, Christmas is not just a singular event, but Christmas is the culmination of the prophecy of God to say he will bring light into the darkness. And we see that in Luke chapter 2. It says, and the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. See, Jesus' birth is no accident. In Christmas time, it wasn't an accidental thing. It wasn't something that just happened all of a sudden and people were surprised. When the song sings, Mary, did you know? She did know. It wasn't an accident. This was happening as a fulfillment of God's plan that he wouldn't leave the world in darkness, but he would give them a light. And this is what Jesus himself would say. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. He comes to say he is the light that everybody has been waiting for. All the people in the past, in history, the Israelites who were waiting for the light to appear, in their failures and in the oppression that they were facing, it wasn't going to happen when someone would come and simply save them as a nation. But there would be a person who comes to save their souls and to renew all of the world. And that person is Christ. God doesn't leave his people in darkness, but when we are lost, he sends Jesus to be our light and hope. And lastly, going through the darkness doesn't just end there. But in verse 7, it says, of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and on over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. I love how that just ends. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. It's just no guessing. It's not something that may happen, but God will do it because he says he will do it. God will complete his plan. The hope we have in Christ is not a fleeting hope, but a hope that is backed by God. It's founded upon who he is, the promise of what he will do, he will set out to do, even if it's at a great cost to him. And we see this playing out, fulfilling on the cross. Right? It starts with Jesus being born, Jesus being incarnated as man on this earth. It starts there, but that's not the end. But it goes into his life and his perfection, but ultimately reaches the cross of Jesus Christ. See, Jesus came as Savior. He suffered and had to walk through the darkness himself. And the hope that Jesus gives is not an empty hope, but it's a hope that says, I've lived on this earth. It's a hope that says, I have faced pain and betrayal. I was crucified on the cross. But ultimately, death does not win. Death doesn't win. And the fate is the same for those who follow Jesus. You know, for those of us who are walking in darkness, you know, if we continue to follow in our own ways and to go into the kinds of perspectives and think about how we can walk our own path, what is the ultimate fate for us? It is death. Ultimately, it's death. That's all that's waiting for us. And that's guaranteed. But for those who follow Jesus, though we may walk in darkness today, in Christ, we will never walk through darkness alone. And ultimately, as we walk with him, as he carries us through darkness, he will ultimately show us the light. He leads us through darkness and into light, out of death and into life. And for that reason, we can hope. We can hope for that reason. Because we may not be home yet. You know, we're still not there. You know, we're still living in a world that is not perfect. And there will never be a utopia that we can live in as we are part of this earth. But the promise is given to us in Christ. through him, a light will shine. We can receive it through Christ as we follow him. You know, though you may walk in darkness today, there will be an end to the darkness. You know, when we're walking and struggling, I pray that Christ would be even the faintest glimmer of light. Sometimes that's all we need. Sometimes that's exactly what we need, especially when we're struggling with all the different things that we have to go through. And I pray that Christ would be even the faintest glimmer of light, that during this Advent, that you may not see the full picture of what life is meant to be. But as we wait, as we hope, as we are patient, that you see Christ there. He will walk with you now. He will carry you until the end, and he will be with you until you face our Lord, our God, our Father, face to face. Let's pray. Father, we pray just during this time of Advent that you would help us to wait well, that we would be a people who would know that we are longing for something, and the material things of this world will not satisfy that longing. We will not feel the satisfaction of our souls with all the things that are being thrown at us. But Lord, the only longing for our hearts that can ever be satisfied is through Jesus Christ, the one who has come for us, to us, and he is with us even now. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see him amongst all the different things in this world, that he would be our motivation to keep on going. Lord, we know that we will all, each and every one of us, will face darkness. We will face times when we can't see ahead of us. And sometimes that's from the failures of the people around us. Sometimes that's our own failure. But Lord, we know that we're never stuck in our ways, but in Christ, you give us a way out. So Lord, I pray for us. Lord, may the Spirit work in our lives so that we may put everything aside and follow after you. Lord, for us, for those of us who may not fully comprehend the gospel of what Jesus has done, may you help us to question during this time and ultimately get an answer. Lord, to know that there is something greater, something more meaningful. There is a greater purpose for us that we must see that will give us hope everlasting. So we thank you for your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.